Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this middle weekend in March. We've all had the experience. We're a part of something so significant that our lives are marked by it, and we're never the same after that day. For years to come, we remember the event, replaying it over and over in our memory. Sometimes we try and return to the place where it happened, just to refresh the experience. I wonder what some of those experiences have been for you in your life story, and how is your life marked by them? This weekend, we're looking at one of those historic moments. It happened in a remote place, in an unexpected rendezvous between Jesus and a Samaritan woman who'd come to draw water from the town well. About 2,000 years before, it had happened in almost the same way at a well several miles south of this town of Sychar. At that time, the woman's name was Hagar, and she was running from her master Sarai, wife of Abraham. Hagar was pregnant by Abraham as a surrogate mother for Sarai. But Sarai had become deeply jealous and mistreated Hagar to the point that Hagar fled, hot and thirsty. At a well, Hagar was met by the angel of the Lord. Most Bible scholars understand him to be an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Genesis 16 gives us that remarkable story. The angel of the Lord encouraged Hagar to understand that God saw and understood her pain, and that she would have a special son and should name him Ishmael, which means God hears. Every time Hagar or Abraham called that name, they would be reminded that God hears our cry. God sees all that's going on in our lives, and God cares. In fact, Hagar gave God a new name on that occasion, El Rohi, the God who sees me. If that was Jesus who met Hagar at the well called Beer Lahai Rohi, I wonder if he was thinking about that as he met with the Samaritan woman at the Sychar well in the heat of the day. While he used different words, do you see his message of hope and God's love was essentially the same? If you've been with me on the Walking with Jesus journey for a while, you'll remember only about 2 weeks ago we looked at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Unchanging God is the connection between Genesis 16, Hagar, and John 4, the Samaritan woman, even though 2,000 years of time separate them. Jesus had shocked the Samaritan woman with several powerful statements he had not made to anyone before. In John 4:14, Jesus said, "The water I give will become in you a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." Jews and other people felt strongly the Samaritans were disqualified from gaining any form of eternal life with God, but not Jesus. With Jesus, everyone is eligible for his salvation. The spring of living water Jesus spoke of was the Holy Spirit. Jesus later explained to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would live within those he saved from their sin, and the vibrant, powerful, personal work of the Spirit in each person would be like a spring of living water. Amazing! Jesus had told the Pharisee Nicodemus that the miracle of born again was a Holy Spirit accomplished miracle. But here Jesus first speaks to a Samaritan woman of the indwelling Holy Spirit. In neither conversation were either Nicodemus or the woman sitting in a church. God met them in a powerful conversation when their hearts were open to learn and believe God's truth. Do you have times and places where you meet with God like that, especially alone? To this Samaritan woman, Jesus unveiled a new truth. God the Father was searching for worshipers whose only qualification was that they believed in him and would worship him in spirit and truth, nothing else. No instructions about day or time or location or style of worship or attire for worship. God is most interested in the condition of the heart and mind of a worshiper. Suddenly, a Samaritan woman found hope that perhaps God really did care about her and would welcome her worship, even though she was a Samaritan. A few days before, Jesus had been in the Jerusalem temple, a place this Samaritan woman would never have been welcome. Jesus had cleaned it out of the animals and the money changers. Then Jesus had shouted, "How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" John 2:16. Now, only a few days later, at a well in Samaria of all places, Jesus makes an even clearer, more shocking statement. "I who speak to you am he." John 4:26. There could be no misunderstanding. The woman had said, when Messiah comes, he will explain everything to us. Therefore, Jesus' response was undeniable. He was boldly, unashamedly claiming to be the Messiah. No one had ever made such a statement without fear of being struck dead on the spot by declaring such blasphemy. So I have a question. Why would Jesus make such a bold, clear statement to a Samaritan woman at a well at midday when no one else could hear him? Could it be for the same reason the angels appeared to shepherds rather than the high-ranking officials of the land? Everyone matters to Jesus. Everyone, my friends. So, within a few moments, the unexpected well rendezvous of Jesus and one Samaritan woman is turned into a crowd. Jesus' disciples return from their shopping trip, and many of the Samaritan people from Sychar come running out with the woman, anxious to meet this man, about whom she has said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." John is silent about what happened in that unexpected contact between Jewish followers of Jesus and Samaritans. But John does tell us the end result. So when the Samaritans came to see Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. John 4, 40 and 41. Can you wrap your heart and head around how big of a miracle of changed attitudes and prejudices this is? My guess is those disciples of Jesus laid down on their mats that night, but sleep would not come. They had always thought they'd die before spending a night in Samaria, especially in a Samaritan town, at the invite of Samaritans. I doubt any of us can imagine how hard it was for these Jewish men to trust Jesus or to believe anything he said as they watched this unimaginable scene. But it was happening. It wasn't a nightmare. Jesus was making it clear, regardless of the past, God loved the Samaritans and wanted to be worshipped by them in spirit and in truth. Jesus wanted the Holy Spirit of God to reside in them like a spring of living water, and to give them eternal life. And then the Samaritans made a statement. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Can you believe that? John the Baptist had said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," John 1:28. But no one in their right mind would have imagined that would include Samaritans of all people. What was it like that day Jesus walked out of Sychar to the waves and cheers of Samaritans whose lives were changed forever? What did Jesus and his men talk about as they walked the road north to Galilee, leaving Sychar behind them? John is silent, and I'm glad he is. Much better we wrestle with the significance of what has happened in Sychar, and we apply it to our cities and our towns all around the world, the place where you live. Who are the Samaritans in your part of the world? The untouchables, the people everyone assumes are far from God, and God has long overlooked them. And who are the people acting like Jesus in your part of the world, reaching to those untouchables, assuring them of God's love, telling them the wonderful truths about God and how they can experience Jesus? And where are you in all that, my friends? John reports, after 2 days, Jesus left Sychar for Galilee, and when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been there. John 4:43. Are you encouraged by that statement? Do you see anything missing? It tells me those from Galilee who had been at the Passover returned home to Galilee, as all good Jews normally would, around Samaria. And when Jesus arrived, they welcomed him, but there is no mention of his 2 days spent at Sychar. They want to celebrate and thank him for what they saw him do in Jerusalem, but no one seems interested in what happened on his return trip through Samaria. I presume everyone assumed he had taken a different road than they had taken, but no one gave any thought to the possibility that Jesus had actually gone into Samaritan territory, or heaven forbid, actually stayed 2 nights at the invitation of the Samaritans. They simply weren't prepared to consider that God loved the Samaritans also, that God had come to earth in the person of Jesus to include Samaritans in God's great plans for redeeming humanity. Is that us, my friends? Are we limiting God and missing out on many great things God wants to accomplish in our world that is outside the boundaries of what we think fits with how we think God ought to work in our world? This weekend, I invite you to look around at all the people you see in person, on TV, on the internet, and check your heart. What will it take for you to see every human being the way Jesus sees them and love them as Jesus loves them? I'm including a song to help you consider what Jesus was seeing in the hearts of the people of Sychar, Jerusalem, and Galilee, and what he sees in your hearts and mine.